Nehemiah next week, and it's going to explain some of the things we're going through right now in this nation. I have never in my entire life, ever, and I'm only 60, I'll be 62 soon, I've never seen what we got going on, ever. Store shelves are getting bare. They're talking about you better go ahead and order your Christmas because there's not going to be anything in the stores. I mean, it's crazy. I just can't believe some of the stuff that I'm seeing, actually seeing and hearing. But I know one thing is God is still in control. Amen? God is in control. He's got this. He told us about this. I do want to tell you something. There was this preacher, after his benediction, he had planned to call a couple down for a brief ceremony in front of the congregation. For the life of him, he couldn't think of the names of those who were to be married. He said, "Well, those wanting to get married, please come to the front." Immediately, 9 single ladies, 3 widows, 4 widowers, and a single man stepped to the front. Smile. It's okay. Breathe. It's okay. Aren't you glad that Jesus hadn't forgot your name? Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus knows who you are and we don't have to wonder about that? All right, get your Bible out. Actually, what we're going to do is I'm just going to make it easy on you. You can just look up here. How about that? Ready? This is about the martyrs. We're talking about the martyrs. There you go. You just read it right here. You got your Bible? Say amen. You can look in your Bible. You can look right here, but let's all stand up. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw one of the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Now you got to listen to this, the souls. Remember, souls. Did y'all say souls? There's a reason why I got you saying souls. Of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed, as it were, should be fulfilled. Stretch forth your hands this way. God, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your special touch. God, I know, Lord, we're living in some very trying, challenging times. There's a lot of things going on, Lord, that we don't quite understand. And if we don't have the Word of God as our compass, we could really lose our balance right now. But God, we know you've already told us these days are coming. You told us it was going to be this way. We know we're being conditioned for what's coming down the road. Help us, Lord, in the challenges to come along with conditioning that we know and understand how to maneuver through all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now, I was going to kind of go over a little bit from last week, and then we're going to go. Now, remember, next week, because it's homecoming, we're going to be actually talking about Nehemiah again, which addresses the time that we live in. But then we're going to go back, and when we get through Revelation chapter 6, then I'm going to let you know ahead of time, we're going to do a Sunday or two on how to withstand in this last day of conditioning, and in this last day, if by some means we wind up in some, either if you know, if the pre-tribbers are right, you don't have to worry about it, but if the mid-tribbers are right, we may be through some of this, and plus the conditioning is getting tougher and tougher. Our lieutenant governor, all he did was speak out against some of the crazy mess they're teaching in school now, and say, he even showed some of the pictures that in our school books, and now he's being lampooned and beat up over what's going on, and wanting him to resign. And I saw a picture where a pastor in Canada was being dragged off and arrested because he was not preaching conformity to the government mandate. So this stuff's getting real. I mean, this is getting tough. So you got to be ready for what's coming. And that's why it's important. And that's why I believe that God's got us in Revelation also. So we're talking about souls. The reason we're talking about, I'll get back in a minute about the souls that's in heaven during the tribulation. It's very important that you see this. But again, how these people die is very simple. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and the judgment were given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so I'm pretty sure there'll be other ways too, but the main instrument that's going to be used for Christians that don't make it in the rapture, they're in the tribulation, and now they're wanting to make it to heaven, when they refuse to take the mark, when they refuse to follow the Antichrist, the Bible clearly states they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Meaning, it could be a guillotine, but you know, lately we've seen it where there's not even a guillotine used, where the guys just, I mean, they stopped the video before you could see it all, but the guys were just put on their knees, and they sawed their neck, just sawed right through it. So who knows how they're going to do it, but it does say they hit it for the witness of Jesus. And I know this is not probably the most popular shouting message that you can preach, but this is probably right now the most needed of messages to be preached. And so let's go ahead, just a few from last week. Jesus warns us just the beginning. It shows the results of that fury of the first four seals, which is in the first year and a half, 2 years. Some even say it's all 3 years or more of the tribulation. The tribulation is divided up like this. The whole tribulation period is 7 years. The first 3.5 years is called tribulation. The second 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. And we'll get into it later. What happens is, the difference is, before the Great Tribulation, Satan, who is controlling the Antichrist now, who has his spirit, at this point will be the embodiment of Satan. So it's going to be tough. The second 3.5 years is going to be even tougher than the first 3.5 years. So there's a scene, but now it's going to shift again from on earth, and it's going to talk about events in heaven. Now, again, you got to think about this as this is a panoramic. Part of Revelation is a panoramic view. When I say panoramic view is, when it talks about certain people, although it speaks in certain times, because it's a panoramic view, just like with these saints here, they're being killed. They're going to be killed all through the 7 years. But this is the first group that come up, and they're under the altar. So here it is. And again, just to give you a little picture of what we were talking about in the beginning, here's a picture of the tribulation saints. It shows they got a promise that people will be saved during tribulation. And probably without number, people will be saved in the tribulation. My question is, wouldn't it be easier to go ahead and serve him now? I mean, it's hard enough. All he expects of us now is for us to give our life to him. But in order to make it in tribulation, you're going to have to give your life for him. There's a difference. Okay? In the tribulation period, you will have to die to make it. And the price, of course, is martyrdom. In the position here that we were talking about here, they're under the altar. And so again, just real quick, the position, it was a place of sacrifice. And that word slain literally means to butcher or to slaughter, just like a lamb, for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And again, this is my last one, and then we're going to jump right in to this morning. Then their position, it was a place of safety, because they're now in heaven and they're under the altar. They've been covered by the blood of Jesus' sacrifice. And it's amazing that although they went through, and you know, we hear people all the time talk about, well, we sure went through hell. Well, that was tough. We went through hell. But you know what? Honestly, we don't know what going through hell is, like it's going to be the tribulation of saints, when the Holy Spirit is pulled out of the way. When the Holy Spirit is pulled out of the way, when Satan is running rampant, then these people are literally going to go through hell. And so here's these guys. They're in heaven. They've been washed. They were washed in the blood now under that altar. But again, remember, this is all symbolic of Old Testament. The raptured saints, they were born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're in heaven, they're with Jesus, they're in their glorified body. But you got these guys, Evan, under the altar, and remember, soul. Remember it said souls? There's a reason why it says soul. For the raptured saints, remember we talked about it? For the raptured saints, here's how it works. The Bible says that when the Lord comes back to that last trump of God, you will hear the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive and remain, they all shall be changed in midair. Jesus is coming back, and it says he's bringing his saints with him. So what it means is, when somebody dies, their spirit and their soul is with God, but their body's in the ground, because we don't have a glorified body yet, because time hasn't concluded. There's still all kinds of stuff going on. You don't have that glorified body. But at the rapture, when it says, we might not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed, it literally means that this is the time that our mortal body puts on an immortal body, our corrupt body puts on an incorrupt body. We become, at this point, we get our glorified body. And so now we get a glorified body and we're taken into heaven with God. So we now have experienced the fullness of salvation in its absolute fullness with our glorified bodies. The saints that are going to be saved during the tribulation period, although they're being saved when it talks about heaven, now they're under the altars in Old Testament, under Old Testament type. They're under the altar, and it talks about souls. They don't have the glorified body yet. They won't receive the glorified body until the end of tribulation. So their soul is in heaven, just like right now. Think about the people that died before us in Bethany. Her soul is in heaven, waiting for the day of the rapture where she can get that glorified body. So now, after the rapture, the souls are in heaven under the altar, waiting for the day when they get that glorified body. But although they don't have that glorified body, there's still some good things going to be happening to them when they get there. So here's what we're going to talk about now. So here it is. Their plea. They start calling before God and crying before him. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now, so I want you to see this now. So it's an urgent prayer. And they said they cried. And that word cried means strong emotions. These people, they went through hell. They gave their life. And they're wondering, okay, look at what we've been through, God. Look at what these people did to us. They took our homes. They took our jobs. They took everything we had, even our lives. How long is it before you judge them for the injustice that they've done against us? So, let's go a little bit further here. It didn't take too long today. It all depends on how we get through this. Now, the prayer they do, remember again, because this is like in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit's going to be in sprinkles, just like the Old Testament. And remember, Jesus Christ, you're not going to be just accepting his death. You have to give your own life for this. This is an Old Testament prayer. Because how long is it going to be before you judge them and do vengeance for us? See, the age of grace is over. Once the 7 years start, the age of grace is gone. It's over. It's done with. We live in the age of grace right now. I'm glad that we're living in the age of grace, because I like being able, that when I mess up, to be able to go to the Father and say, "Lord, I've done it again." And he goes, "Yeah, I know you were going to do that. But my grace is covering you." Okay? Now, once you get over here, now it's going by like the Old Testament. You know, Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's dying, he says, "Lay not this to their charge." They're killing him. He's the first martyr. He's in a pit. They're stoning him to death. And he says, lay not this charge to them. That's grace. But now, no more grace. How long till you're going till you avenge us? Old Testament. Romans 12 and 19 says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath, or give God room to work. You don't have to do it. Some of us, we're not happy till we punish somebody for hurting us. I know we say that's not true. It is. It is. Sometimes we hurt people openly because they've hurt us, and sometimes we're passive aggressive. We're hurting them, but we try to hurt them by not talking to them, or try to hurt them by pushing them to the side or ignoring them when they come in a room. But you know what? God ain't in that. Honestly, God's not in that. And so, but again, Old Testament is different than the New Testament. New Testament, God said, don't do that. You got to leave room for me to work. And if you leave room for me to work, then I'll fix it. But if you're going to try to fix it yourself through passive, aggressive, or aggressive, either way, then you're going to get what you get because you're the one controlling the punishment. So here we go. But now this is not so. God said, you don't do this. You make room for me. I will repay, says God. You don't return evil for evil, but you return good for evil. New Testament. Now, how long, God, before you tear them up? How long is it going to be before you take care of business, God? We gave our lives. We gave everything we had. We went through pure hell. How long? Look at what happens to them when they're up there. Although they're still souls, God's got his way. Bible says that although they were under pressure, but now they're in paradise, they're with God. Now God does something special for them. First, look at the covering. He gives them white robes. White equals righteousness. It says it was given to them. They were given, literally means to minister to. So they just weren't given white robes. They were ministered to. God's wiping the tears from their eyes. God is doing something special for them. God is wrapping them up in his love. And so here it is. You're trading your sorrows and your pain for those white robes. And it said everyone was given one. Every person that gave their life during tribulation. Wow. How many feel like this sometimes? You're carrying a great big boulder up to you. I feel like it every now and then. I know everybody does. We're carrying that heavy load. I can't imagine putting my head in the guillotine and knowing I'm getting ready to die. Can't imagine. And my question is, if that comes down to you, could you say, go ahead, take my head? I'll never, ever deny Jesus. Could you do that? I think about that young lady in Columbine that stood up knowing the guy was going to kill her. She didn't recant Jesus, and she didn't. He killed her. You say, well, her life was short-lived. Her life might have been short-lived, but man, oh man, she spoke volume that day. And she said, I will never deny Jesus as my Savior. The Bible says they had a consolation. I mean, they had some comfort. He said, I want you to rest a while. Your struggles are over. Again, there's no way I can even imagine what these guys are going to go through. I watch and I see things. I see the struggles. I see struggles people are going through. And as a pastor, I'm privy to a lot of things that not everybody else is privy to, the struggles, B5, pit. I'm privy to a lot of struggles. And honestly, people are hurting so bad. There's people that don't even come to this church that honestly, they may not ever step foot in church, but I minister to them all. A lot of people are going through a lot of things. A lot of hurts, a lot of aches, a lot of pains. But nothing compares to what these people do. He says, I want you to rest for a little bit. You got some rewards coming. You're going to live through this 1,000 years with Jesus Christ, and you're going to be reigning with Him. And don't worry, because as you're reigning with Him, God's going to be raining down fire. One second. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:9, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brother who are in the world. Something I've noticed, and I catch myself doing it, I have to stop myself, is if we're not careful, we'll start comparing our trials to somebody else's trials. And even start thinking that we're the only one going through what we're going through. There was times when Bethany was in the cancer center and she had this great big tumor the size of two fists on her side, and her insides eat up. And bless her heart, she couldn't help it because there was so much fluid flowing, necrotic fluid, she felt like death all the time. And there was times where I might be tempted to think, God, can it get worse? And then I would notice people would come in and be on the room next to her on this side, and room next to her on this side. And the next day, during the night, that person left. During the night, that person left. They were not discharged. They were dying. Whenever I got a thought of can it get any worse, I would just walk by down that hallway and I'd start praying for people. As I went by the rooms, I just start praying for them. And I say, God, please don't let me get caught in the thing that I'm the only one going through this. Bethany's the only one going through this. You may feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through. No, you're not. The trial may be wrapped up in a different kind of box, but if you open up the box, there's plenty of people going through the same thing you're going through. So the question is not whether you're the only one going through it. The question is, how are you going through it? And what kind of witness do you show? Because there's people in here right now. You have no idea what they're going through, the struggles they're facing, what they're thinking in their head, what they're thinking in their heart right now. But they're watching you as you go through your struggle. And that can be a determining factor on if they can stand one more day. One more day. I know I've told this before, this story, but I feel compelled to tell it right now. There was a group of ministers going to some type of meeting, church meeting, and they were in a big city. And before the meeting, they all got together. It was in New York. They got together, and they were going to eat before the meeting. So they gathered together to meet and eat, and while they're eating, the waitress comes up and says, can I help you, sir? What can I get for you? And the Holy Spirit nudges one of the ministers and says, tell her that God loved her. And the minister just kind of shook it off. She came back again, and the Holy Spirit nudged him again and said, tell her that I love her. He said, God, she'll think I'm crazy, and I get ready to go to this meeting, and And three or four times, the Holy Spirit nudged him to tell her that God loved her. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll tell her next time I'm in here. They go to the meeting. And when they come out of the meeting, they look down the road at this restaurant. They notice there's a rescue squad out there. So they walk down to see what's going on. When they walk out to see what's going on, it's a true story. They find out that waitress had committed suicide in the back room and left a note that said, nobody loves me. Wow. You never know the impact you have on other people because everybody, they'll say it, everybody's going through something. Everybody. So now, the consolation, yet a little while, I can tell you right now, what you're going through, in comparison to what you're going to get on the other side, this is nothing. Just a little bitty push. It's small compared to what's coming. It said, just a little while until your fellow servants, they're ones doing the same work, going through the same thing, the brethren in the same family, they're going to be killed too. Hey, my biggest thing I do, especially when I'm at Pitt Detention Center, is to tell people, don't get caught up in the trap of I'm the only one going through something. Because you're not. You got brothers and sisters going through the same thing. But what we're going through is small potatoes compared to when the full tribulation takes over, and especially great tribulation takes over. It's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be a bloodbath like you couldn't believe. We already talked about the very first battle of Gog and Magog in the very beginning of tribulation and how their weapons are going to burn for 7 years, 7 year tribulation, and it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. And that's just those fighting the battle of Gog and Magog. Now add to it all the people that refuse to the Antichrist and they lose their heads. Wow. I love this. I will never forget you, my people. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. I will never forget my own. You say, if he loves me so much, why am I going through so much? Well, let me just kind of clarify this. Some things you go through, listen carefully, some things you go through, you bring on yourself. Some things you go through, you're collateral damage for somebody else's battle. Sometimes I feel like mainly the stuff I go through is I'm collateral. Because I didn't start the fight. Joshua and Caleb, they couldn't go into the promised land. They walked around 40 years with the other guys until they died off. So Joshua and Caleb were collateral damage. They had to wait. Sometimes you're collateral damage because you're having to go through something because somebody else in your family on your job, somewhere, they messed up. They blew it. And so you are in part of their healing and or going through. So sometimes you bring it on yourself. Sometimes you're collateral damage. Sometimes it's just the devil's fighting you with everything he's got, and he's doing everything he can, trying to get you to give up, to let go of that hold. Sometimes God is allowing it to either steer you or strengthen you, or both. But the start of it all was in that Garden of Eden. With Adam and Eve. And the forbidden fruit. And he said, from now on, God did, there's going to be problems. Again, I can't stress it enough. Things may be bad for you right now, but you hold on just a little while, because God's going to take care of things, number one. And number two, I don't want to miss out and be stuck with those tribulation things. I want to go on the first busload, get my glorified body. They were faithful unto death. The God gave them refuge. He gave them rest. He gave them robes. Again, I want to show you, because I see this every day. I wear this every day. I've given away probably 10 of these this week. I gave away one at Harbor Freight last night. You know, I give them away where, if I go to Walmart, or I can be wherever, and people look at it and go, wow, that's powerful. I just take it off and give it to them. For that great philosopher, Bethany Linton, fighting that cancer. God's got this, Dad. God's got it. God's got this, Dad. Bethany, I would die in your place if I could. She goes, nope, don't worry about that, because either way I win. Right now, whatever you're going through, just know this. God's got you. He's the good shepherd. He's not going to let go. And either way, no matter what happens, you win. Think about it. Maybe if it's just the effect of sin on the world, if God's steering you or directing you or strengthening you, if you're collateral damage, or you messed up your own self, God's grace is here today. Everybody stand up and close your eyes. Randy, come up here and play something softer, bro. I know this wasn't a shouting message. Matter of fact, if this would have been a shouting message, something would be wrong. This is a powerful message. I also want to ask, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask, if you're here today, and again, this was a very solemn message. I would have rather preached anything else, but if we're going to go through Revelation, let's go through Revelation. And we think it's tough now. This is nothing compared to what's coming. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't accept him now through faith, and you wind up in tribulation, you're going to have to accept your fate, and that is death. When I see this stuff, I think about people in my family, and friends that I have, and nobody really knows somebody else's heart, nobody. But you can discern by fruit. Sometimes some of the fruit I see, I wonder, what's going to happen in the end for them? But just like on that airplane, when the stewardess says, if we start having problems and the air cannulas fall, you got to put your air on first before you can even be able to help anybody else. The same way, if you're going to help somebody, you got to be right too. Every head bowed, closed. And I'm talking to you today, and you're saying, you know what? I'm not sure. I really am not sure. I know I'm not as close as I once was, and I know I could be a whole lot closer, and I want to change that now while nobody's looking around. Quickly, can you put that hand up and say, you know, I really could. I need to be closer. I need God to do something special in my life today. Bless them, Lord, bless them. If you're here today and thinking, wow, I don't know if I can go through what I'm going through because it's so tough. Honestly, and I'm not belittling what you're going through because this is the tough stuff we go through. But in comparison to eternity with God and His rest and His peace, it's only for a little while. And you're not the only one going through it. All over this world, people are going through the same thing. Same thing, just wrapped in a different package, but it's the same thing. If you're needing help for God to shore you up and to shore you up for what you're going through, and nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, we just put that hand up and say, God, I need to redirect my focus right now during this trial. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I need to redirect my focus. Now let's pray together. Father, I know time is drawing near. We are being conditioned for what's coming. And Father, I ask you to help me to have a spirit of discernment, to know how to handle everything that's coming. Help me to understand your word. Help me to understand this stuff that's going on through looking at your word. Help me to be ready for everything. For everything that you've called me to do. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for drawing me closer. And I thank you for accepting me just as I am. Because this is the age of grace. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad that was over. Look, I'd much rather be preaching rainbows right now. You can't. Not with it. And with all the stuff I've seen, a preacher being arrested and drug off because he wouldn't preach conform to the government. I didn't make that up. It's right there in black and white. You can look it up. It's in Canada, I believe it is. Then they showed it to me. And the way things are going, if you try to, I'm not kidding, it's getting to the point now where there is no free speech. So you better watch out. Be ready. Ready? All right. Brother Wayne, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?